Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 144, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling here on another fabulous football Friday and football weekend. It doesn't feel like football weather out there. I will start with that. It's miserably hot out. Now, we don't have the humidity that we had back earlier in the summer, but still very unpleasant out there. So if you're out and about going to football games, you're probably burning up. It's not very pleasant out there, and I feel even worse for the players. But that's the time of the season it is, and we got to talk about football. We got lots to get to today on the show. Some things starting to wind down, some other things just heating up as we speak, literally heating up. So plenty to come here on a Football Friday here on the Watchdog. You still got a little bit of time left. We got Better's Last Stand going on right now. That'll be followed by our pregame show, which will get you ready for high school football this evening, which will only feature one game tonight. But we do have two games on the weekend overall. We got Wheeling Park hosting University this evening. And then on Saturday night, it will be Wheeling Central visiting Steubenville Central. Both of those games will be carried on WatchdogNetwork.com. The Wheeling Park game will be on WKKX and WVOI. The Wheeling Central game will be streamed only, with the WVU game going on a little bit early. It starts at 6, I believe, and then the Central game around, I think, 7 or 7:30 up there. So you will see that, or hear that at least, on WatchdogNetwork.com. All right, let's get in and recap last week. Well, we bounced back a little bit. It was not a pretty week 2 weeks ago. This past week, though, not too bad. We were up 27.35 units. So a nice bounce back spot for us nonetheless. 13-5 in college football, 13-5-1 to be exact in college football, 37-27-2 on the season, 56%. That's not bad. Not where I want to be yet, but we'll take it at this point. Not good in the NFL again, more bad luck. 6-6 on the week, 12-15 overall. These one-score games, I've been on the wrong end of all of them almost over the last 2 weeks, and it is really frustrating. I mean, it's literal. I can't say that because I did have Dallas, but that was only an in-play bet because the pre-flop bet with Dallas -5 or whatever it was, -5.5, didn't get there, so I had no real prayer in there, but they did at least win the game. But yeah, this NFL is brutal. The teams are bad. The coaching is bad. The quarterback play is bad. Yeah, I don't know. I say this all the time, and people get mad at me, and they think I'm joking, and that we are slaves to the NFL. Like, it is literally the lifeblood of our country. It's bizarre. I don't know. Maybe I just grew up in the wrong area of the world and the country. From that standpoint, football is just so important, and it's just so weird to me because I can find a lot better things to occupy my time than this poor product. Maybe it wasn't always like that, but it's in recent years, it has not been pretty. Fantasy football gambling, the only reason to even tune into this stuff, it is an atrocity. The officiating is awful, and all they're trying to do is gouge you out of money. So anyway, 27.35 to the good last week. Decent in football overall. College much better than pro last week. NASCAR, we had a winner with Chris Bell. Finally, something good to watch. NASCAR, 8-1 on Chris Bell. We were up over 9 units in NASCAR. We had Ryan Blaney in the top 5. Alex Bowman and Ty Gibbs each in the top 10. So a good evening for us at Bristol Motor Speedway for the Bass Pro Shops night race. 11-3 in soccer overall, plus 9.35 in our plays. That's how many units we were up in soccer overall. 6-2 in the Premier League, 3-0 in the Championship, and 2-1 in League One. So very strong week in soccer. Hopefully we can keep that going. I was waiting for it to kind of turn the corner. Last year we finished on an incredibly hot run in soccer. Hopefully we can carry that on. It started out a little bit weak, but that's to be expected. It's just hard to get an idea, an identity of these teams really quickly. But after the third match day in the Premier League, or the fourth match, I feel like we're starting to understand these teams a little bit, and I'm feeling a little more confident in that across all of England, actually. And we got Champions League, which are going on today, and we're started yesterday, actually going on 3 days this week, so changed their way that they do their schedule, which is, for somebody like me, I enjoy that quite a bit. So we'll have Champions League plays here. I didn't give out any this week. Again, hard to identify what teams they're going to put out, who's going to be in their best 11, where these teams sit domestically. A lot to unpack here before we start giving out picks. But we had good ones in soccer last week. Spurs plus 110. Fulham even money. Bristol plus 110. Stoke City plus 220. The Stoke Potters coming through. Said they thought, I thought they had a shot, and they did. They performed very, very well. Now, unfortunately, I forgot my soccer sheet today, so I'm not going to be giving out any soccer plays. You're going to have to go to BLS underscore PRP for those, because I don't have them. I can probably eyeball some and tell you of some leans, but I can't believe it. I had it on my table, and I walked out without my soccer paper. So we are at a disadvantage there, but that's okay. We'll make up for it. BLS underscore PRP can find all the picks, all the plays whenever we put them up. Baseball. Actually, let's get to AFL first. Let's recap that. We were 3-1 in the AFL last week. We have three of our four teams alive for the future bets that we gave out earlier this year. We got Geelong at 4-1 and plus 175. We got Brisbane at 6-1. And we got Collingwood at 8-1. So I actually forgot about the Collingwood bet. I went back and looked. They're actually 8-1, decent price on them right now. They're far shorter than that at the moment. Baseball. Let's talk a little bit about that. It's been very, very, very up and down. It is literally every few days a team looks like they're dead and buried, and then comes resurrected, comes back to life, literally comes back to life. The Rangers now, they're back to 3.5 out. Last week, they were 1.5 out. Red Sox, bats have gone cold. Didn't play a good series against the Yankees last week. Didn't play a very good series against the A's earlier this week. So they're just up 2.5 on Cleveland for that final wild card spot. They were in the top wild card spot 2 weeks ago. So things changing. Some for the good, some for the bad. The Giants and the Reds both 3 out. Arizona from out of the clouds, 1.5 out now. Just amazing. A team that was kind of a seller, and they are playing good baseball right now. So you can't count anybody out at this juncture, as there's still about just over a week and a half to go in the season, and we will see what transpires, because there's a lot of teams. It's going to come down to who you play probably on the weekend or next week, and you really got to start lining up your pitching to try to get in here. WNBA, we're now going to game twos and threes of that first round series. I thought these were all best of five until the finals. The first round games stay best of three. Just craziness to me. I don't understand that whatsoever. I think that's really stupid. I don't get it. But best of threes now. So you got two teams forced best of threes last night, first game three. That is the Indiana Fever, who beat the Dream, and the Storm beat the Aces. So those both going to a game three. That would have been last night. So, so you'll know who won those. Phoenix in New York still at it. New York wins that one on the road. And then Minnesota and Golden State in the other one. I'm going to wait till these get to five, because I was going to give plays out, and then I realized they were best of three, and that's hard to handicap. You don't see a lot of that, so it's hard to figure out. You had to figure both, or at least three of the four series would probably go three games with the desperation. New York one probably won't now, as they go back home up 1-0. So anyway, I'll put some plays out probably for the next round there, because I really did like it. The Atlanta Dream, I was going to play them minus a couple of games, but can't do that at a best of three. So we will reconvene on the WNBA, which is going to be winding down here in the next few weeks. And not good there is Bayern Munich. Harry Kane, I just can't stand this guy. He scores. This guy never has won anything, and people treat him like he's the greatest player ever. Bad job by Chelsea defensively there. Massive breakdown. They trail 3-1 there in Champions League action. All right, let's get over to the racing side of things. We talked about the win we had last week with Chris Bell getting home in victory lane at Bristol. But let's shift our gears to start off in the F1 circuit, and that is the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. They were off last week. We were last at Monza, where Max Verstappen was victorious. He finds his way to the top of the podium for the third time this season. It's the longest drought that he's had in several years between race wins. So he gets the top podium finish in a big bottle of champagne as he takes it home at Monza. That was where we last were, and we had a couple of winners there with Alex Albon and Isaac Hadjer going in the top 10. So we cashed those ones. Now it's time to get back after it as we head to Azerbaijan after a week off. And The favorite here, to no surprise, I suppose, is Oscar Piastri. He is the plus, well, I found him as plus 180. I saw some 150s out there, so shop around. You can find a much better price. He's the car to beat right now. He's the championship leader overall. He's won, I believe, six or seven times so far this year. He's been the best driver. He's overall, he's better than Lando Norris. He's still young, and he's already is equal to or better than Norris. So we'll be playing him for sure. The Ferraris had run pretty well here in the past from what I had gathered. Now, they have not been very strong, and Lewis Hamilton has really not been very strong, but we're going to take a shot that him and Charles Leclerc can both get in the top six. You can find a double Ferrari top six at about minus 120, 125. And then Alex Albon, we're going back to the well with Williams. The Williams cars ran very well last time out, and they've run well here in the past. We had a situation last year where they were Franco Colapinto and Alex Albon were both in the top 10. So I think at Baku, this sets up well for the Williams cars, and I'm going to go back to the well with the Williams double top 10. You can find that at a small minus price. Plus price, plus $2, I believe I found it at. So, yeah, shoot for that. Alex Albon, top 10 alone, was a small minus price. Double top 10 for Williams is a plus $2 value there. Isaac Hadjar, I don't know how he'll do here at Baku for the first time, but I would probably roll the dice on him. I'm going to see how he qualifies, and then we'll go from there. So Piastri to win it, Williams double top 10, Ferrari double top 6. Those are the plays we have so far for Azerbaijan. And again, BLS underscore PRP, you can find all of those picks up there and anything else that I add, because I'll probably add something once I see how they practice for the first time here in Azerbaijan. All right, NASCAR. Talked about it. We had the nice winner with Chris Bell last week, 8-1. Well, this week we go to New Hampshire, where Chris Bell is a big favorite there. He is plus 330, so about 3.5-1 range. He's ran well here in the past, obviously. Two wins over this circuit, and he's coming in hot after the win last week. Bell led 149 laps here last year, edging out Chase Briscoe. Josh Berry was third, Kyle Larson, Chris Buescher, Tyler Reddick, Ricky Stenhouse, John Hunter Nemechek, Martin Truex, retired now, and Ross Chastain were the top 10 there at New Hampshire. And they get the Bell got to hoist up that big giant lobster that you get when you win. 2 years ago, it was Martin Truex in the 19 car, led 254 laps, just dominated this. I believe this was on a Monday. I think that was a rain out race. I remember that well. For whatever reason, I had to bet on Truex, and it got rained out till the next day, and he just absolutely dominated that field. So where does that leave us this week? You got the playoffs. You had some guys cut from the playoffs. We lost Josh Berry. We lost Shane Van Gisbergen. We lost Austin Dillon, and we lost Alex Bowman. They were all victims of the first cut race. Chase Elliott squeaks in ahead of Bowman. He had some issues with his car, and he thought maybe he might miss it, but he nonetheless advances on for Hendrick Motorsports. Now, some interesting things here about New Hampshire in recent years. Toyota has dominated this recently since the new generation cars have come along. They've won the last three races with Bell and Martin Truex. Bell, Truex, Bell. That's how it's went. Chevy hasn't won here since 2016 when Kevin Harvick won, and they've only won that one time since 2012. Now, back in the late 2009-ish, 10s, 11s, Tony Stewart was winning. Ray, I mean, they were on a massive run here at New Hampshire, but not anymore. This has become a Toyota track, second by Ford, who's had a couple of wins in that time period. Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, just a couple of those. So, some serious contenders here. This is the first of the playoff races from the next group of races that before we cut. So we got three more when we cut again. So you're going to see some guys, maybe not as aggressive here, but some of these guys are going to be going for it here. So some ideas for some major players here. Denny Hamlin, 6.5-1. Kyle Larson, 6.5-1. Ryan Blaney, 6.5-1. Now, out of those guys, I would go with Blaney's Ford or Hamlin's Toyota before I would go with Larson's Chevy. Larson has had good stats here, but the Chevys just can't seem to get over the hump. So I'm a little leery of him and Elliott and Byron this week, so I'm going to pass on those guys. I am going to go to a Toyota with Tyler Reddick. I think him at 15-1 makes a lot of sense. He's been up front here quite a bit. He's got three top 10s in his five career starts here, just outside the top five and a couple of those. Led some laps, good car, Tyler Reddick, definitely a play. Chase Briscoe in that 19 Toyota that Martin Truex has had a lot of success in. Briscoe was second here last year for Stuart Haas, but now he's getting a much better car. He was in a Ford. Now he's in this really good Toyota that Martin Truex has taken and his crew has taken to victory lane here many times and led thousands of laps here at New Hampshire. So Chase Briscoe at 7-1, I feel, is a fair price. Joey Logano, winner here in the past. He's another guy that would really, really like to dig himself out of the hole he is in the playoffs to get to the next round. He's got two lifetime wins here. I like Logano at 7.5-1. He's got 9 top fives. He's a very aggressive driver. I think he's going to be in the mix here. He's looking for a really good run to get him through to the next round. Chris Buescher has ran up here near the top 5 and 10 in many of the races here. Has had some bad luck in New Hampshire with some of his finishes, so his stats don't look as good, but he does have a top 5 here, and I like the way he's run, and his car, his driver ratings have been very strong here, prior to any incidents that he was involved in. 28-1 on him, a little bit of a large price there. Then Daniel Suarez, he's a 16.3 average finish here. He's 100-1. He's got some 3 top tens out of 9 starts, and he's been a guy that's been up in the mix. He's ran up front a lot of times, and Suarez is a very track dependent driver. When he runs well, he really runs well at a track that he likes, so I think he's worth a shot. I'll consider Todd Gilliland, but I got to do a little bit more diving into him. I'm not certain I want to play him. He's probably a top 20 car, not a top 10, so I'll probably pass on that. So Reddick, Briscoe, Logano, Buescher, and Suarez are my plays. I probably would have had Elliott and Larson in here prior to me doing some research on how bad the Chevys have been. But you can't go wrong with Ryan Blaney or Denny Hamlin here. They're both going to be very strong. A little too short of a price. And then Chris Bell, 3-1. I just can't play that. He won last week. It's hard to win a couple in a row, although he's been a guy that has done that. He did it back at the beginning of the season. He might have won 3 out of 4. So can't sleep on Bell either. He gets momentum going, and he can drive the wheels off the car. So BLS_PRP, you can find our plays for the Mobile 1301 at New Hampshire on Sunday afternoon. Yes, the races are back to Sunday after back-to-back night races. So I enjoy the night races, but sometimes, actually, no, I'm wrong. It wasn't back-to-back night races. It was 2 out of 3 were night races. You had a night race Sunday, then a night race. All right, let's go through some things here on Bettors Last Stand Show number 144. Thanks for joining us here on the Watchdog Network on a Football Friday, getting you ready for high school football action tonight. We got Wheeling Park hosting University over at Wheeling Island Stadium tomorrow night. Wheeling Central travels to Steubenville Central. WatchdogNetwork.com is where you want to be. You got the Mountaineers here on Saturday, which is tomorrow, and you'll hear them at Kansas for a 6 o'clock kickoff on that one, and then the Cleveland Browns on Sunday hosting the Green Bay Packers. That's where you want to be, right here on the Watchdog Network for all your fabulous football action throughout the football season, even though it feels like the scorching summer out there right now. All right, bad beats from last week, and I don't know if any of these really classify as just devastatingly bad beats, but some of them do. I mean, in a way, one way or another, they've affected people and they've ruined their days and ruined so many people's Sundays like the NFL tends to do. Samus says St. Louis Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals -6.5. And they were taking on the Carolina Panthers. They led 27-3 in the third quarter, but a late charge by Carolina saw them cover for a 27-22 final. Now listen to this stat. Prior to that comeback by Carolina to cover, then they didn't win the game outright, but they did cover. Prior to that comeback, teams who had trailed by 24 points or more were 0 and 111 ATS since 2022. So, ouch. If you were a Cardinal bettor laying it there, that one stung. Dolphins almost got a near reprieve on them. Looked like Achain had scored a touchdown to give the Dolphins the win. Oh no, he stepped out of bounds. And that's just, these guys are so careless. And really, he really wasn't under massive duress when he did step out of bounds. He did most of the hard work and then kind of got careless, which is a tendency for anybody that is a Dolphin player at this point. So yeah, that one hurt a little bit. Jags meltdown against Browning and the Bengals. I was on the Jags there. You saw those. BLS_PRP gave that on the show. I thought they'd win the game outright. You know how I feel about Joe Burrow, and we're going to talk about that here shortly. But Jake Browning came into the game, and I was really worried, because to me, I don't like the betting against the Bengals when Browning is the quarterback, because he just manages the game better than Burrow. He's not a home run hitter, but he manages it better. Now, he did turn the ball over, full transparency. He was sloppy, but he was coming in backup. He probably hadn't taken snaps in forever. He hadn't been in an actual game in a while. So, yeah, he was rusty, but he made plays. And some awful pass interference calls against Travis Hunter ended up costing the Jaguars, who were atrocious. Trevor Lawrence can't play. I've finally come to the conclusion. I've given this guy a pass. I've given him chance after chance. He can't play. You can't trust him. You can't trust him to cover. You can't trust him to win. He can't play. He turns the ball over. He doesn't understand taking point. He has a terrible interception in the end zone when his team could have been up 14-0 or 10-0 at the least on the road. I mean, just a ridiculous interception. And he had others in the game. Doesn't understand the situation, which is just so surprising to me that he came from a program that won in college and he was in total control and he never made mistakes. And in the pros, he looks like he is a high school player. He makes dumb decisions. He can't make throws. I'm not going to say a total bust, because I do think he's serviceable as a fringe starter and a backup. But to me, way overpaid for him. I'm not sure he'll ever get over the hump. After Sunday's game, I would say that the Jacksonville Jaguars should just be retracted. They shouldn't even have a team. They're never going to compete. They just have losers at every level, and it's bothersome. So if you had them, condolences. Saints lose a tough one to San Francisco. Saints could be 2-0. They threatened 2 weeks in a row. So if you had the Saints, ugh. Broncos betters done in by some bad calls, I will say. I was not on the Broncos, but they did take some bad calls go against them. And Indiana Jones, Daniel Jones, resurrected his career in the Colts somehow, 2-0. Just incredible for a team that can't stop anybody. And I think that their days are coming to an end here quickly. Texans, they got Baker Mayfield sacked on a fourth down, ready to get off the field there right around the two-minute warning, and they let him escape. He runs for about 10 or 12 yards, gets the first down, drives his team right down the field, scores, and wins the game. Houston is a team that is leaking oil. C.J. Stroud was horrible in this game. He missed throws when he was protected, and of course he missed them when he wasn't protected. Now, the one thing I'll say, I was very high on him after his rookie year. But his line has gradually got worse each year. He's almost unplayable at this point. It impacts fantasy. I mean, Nico Collins is not anywhere near what he was the last 2 years, because they can't protect Stroud. Stroud is bailing out of throws. His footwork is awful, and it's not his fault. He has no protection. He has no time. So in his mind, he's thinking he's got to get rid of these throws. He's not accurate right now. It's a real mess, and the Texans have a disaster on their hands, because there's no way to improve your offensive line during the year, really. It's just you have what you have, and you're stuck. And their defense on the field quite a bit. I thought they would be a little bit better. They had several sacks. They let guys get away. So one thing, they're over-pursuing, and their secondary can't cover forever. Secondary is very good. Defensive line is very good, but they got to get connected better. They got to figure out how to get off the field on third down, make tackles and stops, because this offense is going to have a lot of three and outs because of how bad their offensive line is. And they struggle to run the ball. And then Nick Chubb did break a run in the fourth quarter, which helped that running game a little bit. But geez, if I was a Houston backer right now, I would not be real excited about what they're going to be like. That's a division that is just awful. I mean, the Colts, smoke and mirrors. Jacksonville is another fraud. Year in, year out, I support that team, and they just let me down time after time. Tennessee really has the most upside in that. They have zero playmakers on offense at all, except for Tony Pollard, I guess. No real wide receivers. I mean, I don't know. They don't have a whole lot for Cam Ward, but Cam Ward could be pretty good if he doesn't get killed. So I would say if anybody in that division, I'd have the most optimism about Tennessee. Maybe not for this year, but for the future overall. All right, let's go through some industry news and notes here on BLS show number 144 here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for a Football Friday evening here on the Watchdog Network with Wheeling Park and University. FanDuel has agreed to pay, speaking of Jacksonville, a Jacksonville employee, FanDuel has agreed to pay the Jacksonville Jaguars $5 million in compensation for the nearly $20 million that an ex-team employee stole and gambled at their sportsbook. I don't know how they came to this agreement. I don't know how they found FanDuel to be somewhat liable here. No idea. That's not for me to figure out. But I find it amazing that Jacksonville got $20 million stolen from right out under their faces. Maybe that shows you why they're not a buttoned-up team. They have employees, lower-level employees, stealing $20 million and gambling it. The NCAA is aware and continues to investigate players gambling, inside information sharing, and point-shaving schemes, which are believed to have partners from the outside involved. No other details were given at this time, as they made a statement last week. Teams involved, this was basketball. Now, if it happens in basketball, chances are it's happening in football. It's just a little bit harder to find in football because you got so many other bodies out there. In basketball, one guy can dictate a lot of things, especially if he has the ball in his hands a lot. Eastern Michigan, Temple, Arizona State, New Orleans, and North Carolina A&T, and Mississippi Valley State are the teams that are under investigation that we know of at this time. The NCAA also declared three college basketball players permanently ineligible after being involved in improprieties regarding prop bet schemes and things of that nature. Two players from Fresno State and one player from San Jose State. Wow. Bad stuff there. These guys are not behaving. Notre Dame, under 10.5 already. So that one cashed. They're 0-2. So you already cashed an under 10.5 bet on Notre Dame if you had that for the season. I don't think I had that. I don't think I gave that out. I think I was going to be very close. But I thought their schedule was pretty easy, and I thought they would actually beat Miami in the first game. But happy to be wrong on that account. All right, let's get into it here. The most bet teams in college football last week. Let's see how they did. 94% of tickets on Utah. We had Wyoming. Wyoming hung in this game. Their defense played really well. Just couldn't score. Got beat by 25, catching 23. So that one was a winner for Utah. 90% on Arkansas, plus 7 against Ole Miss. They don't win the game, but they do cover. 88% on Colorado, plus 5.5 against Houston. Now, we did have the right side of that one. I told you, the public dogs you need to be aware of. People were on Colorado way too much. Houston pretty much handled them on Friday night. 86% on Oregon, minus 28. Northwestern knocking on the back door, come through the back door with 14 unanswered to cover there late. 84% on Texas, minus 42. This Texas team, they got a great defense, but their offense is really, really, really off right now. And it's not all on Arch Manning. His wide receivers can't catch. Running game is off. Texas does not look great. Defense will keep them in most games. UTEP was their opponent. That did not cover, so Texas did not cover last week. We had the over in that game, and it didn't come close. 83% on Illinois, minus 27.5. They smash Western Michigan. Brett Bielema's team. Everybody in love with Bielema. Highest ticket counts for week 4 in college football, 95% on Florida State, minus 45.5 against Kent State, 95% on Boise State, minus 10 against Air Force, 92% on Washington, minus 20.5 against Washington State, 90% on Tennessee, minus 39.5 against UAB, 90% on Vanderbilt, minus 27.5 against Georgia State, 89% on South Alabama, minus 14 against Coastal Carolina, and 87% on Oregon, minus 35.5 against Oregon State. Notice any common denominators there? Most of those games are people laying massive numbers, which is not a good idea. That's just too many things can go wrong when you're laying 45 and 39 and 35 and 27. Stay away. And if the public is on these, you don't want to play them. I know it's tempting. You want the big games. You want the Tennessee. You want Oregon. Oh, yeah, their Oregon's great. Yeah, they'll definitely cover. Well, no, they don't. They didn't last week. So now they're laying 35 against a rival, and Oregon State is really, really bad, so I can't condone a bet on Oregon State. All right, let's go to the NFL. Most bet teams in week number 2. How do they do? 83% on San Francisco, minus 4.5. Ooh, squeaked it out there. Well, the week before that, you didn't. This week, you did. You covered by a half. 81% on Buffalo, minus 6.5. That was ice cream. That was an easy one from the start. The Jets absolutely quit. And that's not a good sign for Aaron Glenn when you're quitting two games into the season. 81% on Arizona, minus 6.5 against Carolina. We talked about that terrible beat if you had Arizona. 81% on Dallas, minus 5.5 or 6 against the Giants. Well, they win the game, but they do not cover. Just a disastrous defensive performance by Dallas, giving up that late touchdown to Neighbors. I mean, it's going to be a long year, and Dak Prescott's going to put up some massive stats if he stays healthy, because they're going to be trailing and they're going to have to throw the ball 80 times a game. 78% on the Rams, minus 5.5, an easy one there. We did have that one against Tennessee. 75% on Philadelphia, minus 1 against Kansas City. That game closer than the score indicates. Kansas City's a player or two from winning that game. We did have the under there, so that was a good one. 74% on Pittsburgh, minus 3 versus Seattle. We had Seattle and thought Seattle would win that game outright, and they did. Lopsided ticket counts for week number 3. 87% on Dallas again, minus the 1. 80% on Indianapolis, minus 3.5. 79% on the Falcons, minus 5.5. 79% on Buffalo, minus 12.5. 79% on the Chargers, minus 2.5. 74% on Kansas City, minus 6. And 70% on Green Bay, minus 8.5 on the road. Insanity to lay that number in the NFL. NFL unders. Week 1, they were 12-4. Well, guess what? Total flip-flop as we go 10-6 to the over. It was 10-3 heading into Sunday Night Football. The final three games stay under the total, where it really would have been a lot worse. I think in the 1 o'clock, I think they were 8-1 to the over. So you had lots of scoring, lots of action. NFL favorites, minus 4.5 or more. 12-0 straight up, 7-5 ATS so far. Favorites overall, 22-8 straight up through week number 2, 16-14 against the spread. And Patrick Mahomes has now lost 3 consecutive games for the first time in his career. Will he make it 4 this week against the mighty New York Giants? I don't know. Can't really back the Giants. That could be tricky. All right, moving along here. Bettors Last Stand, show number 144 coming to you here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for high school football action this evening. Wheeling Park hosting University in what should be a good Class Quad A tilt. You heard Musselman Appleman upset Wheeling Park here on these airways last week in a stunning defeat. Park will probably come with a little bit more focus this week. They got to clean up some mistakes, no doubt about it. All right, let's get into the card for college football week number 4. Again, I don't have any soccer plays because I left my sheet and I can't believe it. But actually, you know what? I forgot. I skipped 2 things here. So hold off on the college football. Just a quick tease. I know that's what everybody really wants to hear. But we got AFL to talk about here briefly. We got the preliminary finals here this weekend. You got Hawthorne and Geelong. Geelong minus 9.5 at home. 164.5 is the total. Cats have won the last 4. They've won by an average of 41.5 points here. Hawthorne's little mini run here, they've been scoring some points. They've averaged 104 the last 2 games. Well, I think that comes to an end. I think Geelong takes them out pretty good. Geelong, right now, the healthiest team and playing the best. We'll take the Cats minus 9.5 and over 164.5 for that one. And then our second game, it's Brisbane at Collingwood. Brisbane wins big for us last week and performs well without some of their top players. Neal and Hipwood out. That's just really a huge losses, but they had some young guys step up, played really well. Collingwood, who's been up and down, they're playing very well right now, but I like Brisbane in this game, catching 6.5, and I also like the under 164.5. I think this is a defensive battle for the most part. Brisbane has the veteran players that can still win this game. I do feel that they are going to be lively here. Now, it's not going to be an easy task, that is for sure, but I do think they can pull one out here against Collingwood. So we'll go Brisbane and under and Geelong and over in our 2 games, the preliminary finals for the AFL. All right, so soccer, EPL in England, and I can't believe I'm frustrated. We had a really good week last week for soccer, and I wanted to give out these plays, and I totally lost my paper, didn't bring it with me. So 11-3 last week. We were 6-2 in the EPL, 3-0 in the championship, and 2-1 in league number 1. So just glancing over the schedule here for this weekend, you got Chelsea and Manchester United. That one probably going to be a game where you're going to have to back Chelsea. This game's at Old Trafford. Manchester United is a disaster. Chelsea are about to lose here today to Bayern Munich on the road. So I think they'll come out very, very inspired. You got the Merseyside Derby. Liverpool kind of getting caught overlooking it here. They're playing Atletico. They led 2-0 in this game, and now it's 2-2. So they were definitely waiting. And it seems like Liverpool always plays at home. They're at home today. They're at home on Saturday. I like this game under. I also would like bookings over in that one, so we'll post that one. Wolves and Leeds. Probably going to be leaning Leeds there in some capacity, and maybe of both teams to score. But I got to look. I can't remember what I had written down. West Ham and Crystal Palace. Palace at plus 140 there is probably a decent bet. West Ham, to me, is just not. They're just not very good. They have one very good player, as I've said many times. Jared Bowen, really good. The rest of their team is not good. Burnley hosting Nottingham Forest. Burnley has been very good defensively, as we know. They had a nice under for us the other day at Turf Moor as they really got screwed there late as Liverpool gets a penalty in the weaning minutes to take them out. But they take on Force. That's probably going to be an under for me. I think it's going to be an under 2.5 or 3. Two pretty good teams defensively. Brighton and Spurs. Could be some goals in this one. Those Spurs has kind of went south scoring-wise because of some of the injuries that they've had. But I think we're probably leaning over in that clash on Saturday. And then Fulham and Brentford. Fulham at home. Brentford comes in. Brentford was a team that everybody was down on, including myself. They're better than we expect. Probably both teams to score in that London derby. QPR and Stoke in the championship. I think Chelsea just had a goal disallowed. Cole Palmer looking for a second one, but I was offside, I believe. QPR and Stoke will probably be going over in that one. And it's just QPR just gives up goals for fun. Stoke said last week they're pretty good. I would keep an eye on them. They could possibly be under the radar here to be promoted at this point. I mean they're second, I believe, in the table. So long way to go, but I like what I'm seeing out of the Stoke Potters at this point. So that's going to be a game we're going to focus in on. Possibly Birmingham at home. Not sure about that one quite yet. Norwich and Wrexham. Gonna have to look. Norwich has not been good. Wrexham, a team that everybody bets because of the popularity of the Ryan Reynolds ownership and that. But not anything I really, really love on that side of things. Sunday's games, Bristol and Oxford. Probably be leaning towards Bristol there in the championship. And then Arsenal and Manchester City in the big showdown there. Arsenal -110 in this match at home. Maybe an under, probably going to be my best bet there. Sunderland at home against Aston Villa. And Aston Villa, who has just been remarkably terrible in the Premier League so far this year, as they draw again 0-0. I mean, this team just can't score. They've not scored again. So I tell you what, Sunderland to me at +250, very, very live there in the Stadium of Light. That place will be rocking. Aston Villa, that is not an easy place to go anyway if you're playing well. Well, if you can't score goals, it's going to be an even harder place. I know Sunderland will at least score a goal in the game, so that's almost a guarantee. But I'm probably going to be backing Sunderland there at home. Bournemouth and Newcastle. Bournemouth could be tricky here. They're at home, and Newcastle, to me, going to be a team that I'm going to be very leery about playing when they go on the road. So we shall see. That is the Premier League. That's a little synopsis of what we kind of like. Forgot to bring my pick sheet. But BLS_PRP, you can find them all. All right, time for football talk is what everybody wants to talk about and hear about, I suppose. Even if my opinions suck, they still like to hear people talk about it. We got a couple games tonight on the docket. Tulsa and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State at home, -12. They have not been good. 54.5 is the total. I like Tulsa in this game. I'm not saying that they'll win the game, but I feel like they're kind of taking advantage of a wounded animal here, and that is Oklahoma State. And usually you got to be careful of wounded animals because they might bite, but I don't think Oklahoma State has a whole lot of teeth left. This is a really bad season for Gundy. I don't know what's gone wrong there. They have a lot of money. I'm not sure how NIL could be affecting them negatively, but something's amiss in that program. So we're going to be on Tulsa tonight +12. Also tonight, big showdown here. Rutgers hosting Iowa. Oh, and a massive goal by Virgil van Dijk. Oh my Lord, saving Liverpool. This team, wow, this team just cheats death on a regular basis. Unbelievable stoppage time goal. I think it was off of a corner kick. And you got Simeone going into the stands, the manager for Atletico. He's going crazy. Oh, my Lord. He's pushing the sheriffs and the deputies who are guarding. Fans are going after him. This is ugly stuff here in Anfield. What a surprise. The Philadelphia of English football. Just barbarian people and barbaric behavior. Get ready for it on Saturday with poor Everton's got to go there in the Merseyside derby. This team just lucks out day after day after day after day. But they are good in Diego Jota, his death over the summer probably leading to it. Wow, what a big-time goal by your captain on a header at the top. That was very high up in the box. And he really, I mean, that was from far out. That was an incredible finish there. So, Liverpool going to be through. Simeone, a disaster right now for Atletico Madrid. All right, let's keep it going here. Back to Iowa Rutgers, a very exciting game. Iowa on the road at Rutgers. Iowa off of the game against Iowa State a couple weeks ago where they were, but I think they do take care of business here, laying the field goal. They're a disciplined team. Rutgers, maybe not so much. I like Iowa just under a field goal on the road. I don't like to lay points very often, but this will be a very low scoring game. So I do like the under 45.5 tonight and taking the Hawkeyes on the road. Syracuse at Clemson. Clemson 17.5, total 55.5. No real opinion here. I would lean towards the over in this game. Clemson needs a get right game for their offense as they were beaten by Georgia Tech last week. And Syracuse could provide that because their defense is very poor. Syracuse offensively, not terrible. Clemson most likely slaughters them here, but I don't know. I think you have a situation where maybe Clemson's just not that good. These are some get-up spots, so let me just interrupt because Clemson's one of them. Clemson, obviously off of that loss, maybe a big-time get-up spot for them. Vanderbilt, revenge against Georgia State on their mind. That could be Tennessee after blowing the lead against Georgia last week and losing an OT. I think they'll be up for the game. I think Auburn will want revenge on Oklahoma after last year's meltdown. You remember that pick six. Purdue looking for some revenge against Notre Dame, although I'm not sure they can get it. They could cover. Kansas, after the bye, they should have beaten probably beaten Missouri despite getting now gained massively. They could be dangerous against West Virginia. They're off a bye week. I've had a long time to think about that, and West Virginia is still partying over the Pitt win. Wisconsin, that's Billy Edwards who tried to beat his old team in Maryland. So maybe some motivation for there. Letdown spots. Georgia Tech against Wake Forest. I think that's a massive letdown spot. You beat Clemson. Now you take on Wake, who didn't perform great, but we're in the game against NC State. Utah State. They could be a little lazy here against McNeese State after that big win over Air Force. Vanderbilt could also be overlooking Georgia State. Now, I will say the caveat to that is they got beat by them last year, so probably not. But they did have a big win over South Carolina, but because this is a revenge spot, I think they might be safe. But Vanderbilt's starting to get public backing, which would be worrisome. North Texas, they could be a little flat against Army after the Washington State blowout. Cal, this is a team they're talking about dropping football, but now they're looking at a potential playoff berth. Cal, maybe a letdown hosting San Diego State after the big win over Minnesota. Notre Dame could be down after the loss to Texas A&M. Usually you would think there'd be a bounce back spot, but they're probably not going to make the playoffs unless they run the table. I don't know what's going to happen. And then West Virginia, they're in a massive hangover spot here against Kansas. They're just not very good. They're going to go out to Lawrence. Could be ugly. Ole Miss could be looking ahead this week. They got LSU on tap next week, so be aware of that. And then Tulsa, who we just talked about, they're coming off 6 days rest, but I really don't think that's going to matter a whole lot in that game this evening. All right, back to it. Clemson and Syracuse, no real play on that. I'm going to over, though. That's probably going to be where I'm ending up. SMU at TCU. SMU, kind of a mess right now. Hearing some things coming out of that program. They got some problems on defense. They had some defections from their playoff team last year. They're catching 7 here in a rivalry game. These two teams separated by just a few miles. 64.5 is the total. TCU lays the 7. I'm on the Horned Frogs here. I think the Horned Frogs, who took care of them last year, got beat by them pretty good last year. I think they'd come back with a vengeance here. And I like the game over. 64.5 could be some points here. SMU's defense is a problem, and TCU's offense is very, very good. Game of the week, perhaps. Texas Tech, Utah. Utah -3 at home, total 57.5. I can't support Utah. I've had so many run-ins with them where I lay it with them in a game like this, and they lose. So I'm passing on this. Small lean to the Utes at home. But Texas Tech's impressed me. They've been very good. My gut says Texas Tech. My data says Utah. So we're not playing it, and Utah has let me down time after time. Bad spot for Maryland here as they have some revenge angles for some Wisconsin guys, and they're on an awful road run here. Every single game they're on the road, they just get beat to hell. So stay away from Maryland. North Texas at Army. Army +2.5 at home, total 50.5. This is a good game. Tricky, good game here. Kind of like an under 50.5, but no real play. Arkansas at Memphis. You got Notre Dame on deck for Arkansas. I feel like this is a definite look-ahead spot for them. They lay 7 on the road, 62.5. I'm on the Memphis Tigers here. Pretty good program, good team. Solid at home, catching a touchdown. I'll be on them. I think Arkansas has a massive letdown. UNLV at Miami, Ohio. It'll be UNLV 2.5, 49.5. No play here. I was tempted to play the Red Hawks, but that's hard to back them ever. Alabama
UAB, Alabama, Birmingham, that is, against Tennessee. Tennessee 39.5, total 69.5. Probably going to be a blow up for Tennessee, but I'm not laying 39.5. Oregon State and Oregon, we talked about this one. 35 is the number here for Oregon. 55.5 is the total. This rivalry game doesn't have the luster it once did. Oregon State, very poor. Probably looking at Oregon's team total over 43. I think they'll probably score 50 in this game, at least 49. So we'll go over 43.5 for Oregon to score themselves. North Carolina at UCF, 6.5 is the number there. UCF lays it, 47.5 is the total. UCF, normally very, very good at the bounce house, down at their home field. I'd be tempted to take the points or lay the points with them against North Carolina, but I can't lay points against Belichick. I just feel like he's probably going to start outsmarting some of these coaches at some point. So I will pass on that one. Kent State, Florida State, minus 45.5, 56.5 public all over Florida State. I'm not going to be. I can't do it. So we'll pass on that one. Tulane at Ole Miss. This is a definite look ahead spot for Ole Miss. They got LSU on deck. They're laying 11.5 here. The total is 61. I like Ole Miss, or I like Tulane in this game, and I kind of lean to the under here. Ole Miss seems like they're easily distracted, and not to make fun of anyone, but it's like they have their whole team has ADHD. Like they get in control of a game, and then they're over there playing with the cat, and then the other team comes back, or they make a great play on defense and they commit a penalty because one guy wasn't paying attention and drug a guy down when they had a sack in the backfield. So they just don't seem buttoned up to me at all. So that's why I like Tulane and I like under in this game. I think Ole Miss will go through the motions thinking about LSU next week. Michigan at Nebraska. Some people billing this is a big one. I don't know. Michigan 2.5-point road favorite, 45.5 here. Boy, I don't know about this one. Matt Rhule, his team should be ready for this one. Michigan 0-6 ATS run currently. I can't back them right now. They're kind of messy. Lean Nebraska or nothing in that one. Auburn at Oklahoma. Oklahoma 6.5, total 48. I like this game over. I think there will be points here. I think both these teams now have pretty good offenses and some playmakers, which they have not had in recent years. Last year's game was ugly. This year's game should be a little prettier. Sharp money coming in on the over as well, so that makes me feel decent. And I like Oklahoma just a tad. Now, I know Auburn is probably going to be looking for some revenge, but I think I like Oklahoma here at home. They've kind of impressed me so far. I think they're a playoff team. Troy and Buffalo, nothing in that one. Buffalo lays 6.5, 42.5. Ball State at Connecticut, 21 on Connecticut, 52.5, nothing there. Louisiana, Raging Cajuns at Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan catching 2.5 at home, the total 50.5. I'll do nothing in that game. JMU and Liberty, Liberty plus 9.5 at home. This is probably a spot where maybe Liberty makes a little bit of sense, but I don't know. If I could get 10 at home, I probably would take it. 46.5 the total. Toledo at Western Michigan. Toledo minus 14. Probably Toledo, but don't like laying big numbers like that in conference games on the road. Purdue and Notre Dame. Total 54.5. Notre Dame lays 24.5. Notre Dame 0-2. Couldn't stop anybody. Their defense has been terrible. So I like the Purdue Boilermakers team total over 13.5. Notre Dame has played two pretty decent offenses, I will say that, but Purdue is a little bit better. Now, they're not great. They still got crushed last week, but they're not as embarrassing as they were last year. So I think the Boilermakers can score between 14 and 20 points in this game. I'll take them over 13.5 team total points, and I like this game over from an overall standpoint, as I think Notre Dame will probably score nearly 40 against Purdue. So over 54.5 and Purdue over 13.5. NC State and Duke. This is a game I had circled on the calendar. I'm conflicting on this. I had it because I've been on Duke. They've been terrible. They've turned the ball over. Inexcusable coaching, which I'm not surprised. That was the one drawback with this team, but I thought they had talent, and I think they still do. So here's where we're at in this game. I've heard some bookmakers tell me they have North Carolina State an 11.5-point favorite. Actually, in a range, I've heard between 8 and 11 points. I've heard three different guys tell me 8 and 11 was the number that they had. They're catching 3 points on the road. And the 8 and 11 was at a neutral site. So even if you subtract off three, still makes them a substantial favorite in this game. They're catching 3 against Duke. Everything in the world tells me to play NC State here, but I was on Duke at the beginning of the year, and I'm not giving up on them quite yet. I got a win total bet on them over. They need this game really, really bad. So just when it looks so desperate, so bleak, maybe Duke can come alive. I'm going to pass on the game because I already have an interest in it with the Duke win total. So I'm passing on the game, but conventional wisdom says NC State. Bookmakers saying NC State in the power ratings. But every time you think it's easy, that's the time that maybe Duke wins this game. West Virginia at Kansas. You can hear it right here on the Watchdog Network, 6 o'clock p.m. tomorrow, 3 p.m. on the pregame show. Jayhawks minus 13.5, the total 56. The Jayhawks gave up almost 600 yards of offense to Missouri a couple of weeks ago in a game where they're still recovering from. They were off last week. So I like this game over the 56. I also am going to play Kansas here just because West Virginia traveling out there after the big Pitt win. They've been burning couches and drinking all week. And I don't have any faith that Rich Rodriguez will have his team focused for this game. I like Kansas in the game. I think this will be a game where you'll see it teeter on the brink of West Virginia covering throughout, but a late Kansas touchdown, I think, will put it over and put the Jayhawks into covering position in Lawrence. South Carolina at Missouri. Big time game here until South Carolina seemed a little bit less than what they were last year. Missouri lays 11, 47.5. Looks like a big, big number, but Missouri's pretty good. And I think Missouri is a team that's on the cusp of the playoffs. I don't like to lay 11 in a game like this, but I would lean Missouri if I had to make a play. Boise at Air Force. Boise lays 10 on the road. 51 is the total. Now, Air Force is bad, but Boise isn't very good either. I would take Air Force or nothing here. Marshall finally gets a win last week there at Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee catching 2.5 in home. 46.5 is the total. Marshall, they look very questionable too. I would lean Middle Tennessee in that one. Coastal Carolina at South Alabama. South Alabama 14.5, the total 50.5. Nothing on that one. But I will say I feel like South Alabama might be the right side there, but you know, you just don't. I got to be honest. Like, I've seen South Alabama play for about 5 minutes this year, so it could be a game where I'm not really in a position where I should be giving advice out on this game. But a game that I will give advice out on is BYU at East Carolina. East Carolina, a very, very dangerous team at home. East Carolina, 5-0 ATS run currently for them. We had them earlier in the year. They're catching 6.5 at home. Like I said, 5-0 on the covers for the last five as a dog. 49.5 the total. We're going with the Pirates. I like them. I think they have a really good chance to win the game outright, but it will take the 6.5. Stanford at Virginia. Maybe my play of the week here. Virginia minus 15.5. The total is 49. I like the Virginia Cavaliers. I've been on them quite a bit this year, quite a bit in the preseason. I think they're a team that's dangerous, but you know, not really ready to take that next step. But Stanford is really, really bad. The quarterback for Virginia has been okay. I think he plays a little bit better each week. Like them here, laying the 15. I think they'll win this game by at least three touchdowns. They're in Charlottesville. Indiana hosting Illinois. This could be considered the game of the week. Indiana minus 4.5 at home. The total 52.5. Up to 5.5 now, actually, at some spots. Now, this is an interesting game. I've heard a lot of Brett Bielema love. People are really, really loving Illinois. A lot of public people on Illinois the last couple of weeks. I don't know what it is, but people are forgetting about Indiana. Now, I don't like Indiana at all. I think their coach is cocky. I think their players are cocky. Are they going to be a program that sustains after last year's playoff run? I don't know. This will show us a lot here. I lean Indiana in this game. There's a way too much public love for Illinois here. And I don't trust Brett Bielema. He's never really won any big games in his life. He always gets those wins that you should get. Well, this is a game that's going to require some coaching. I like Indiana. I like this game under 252.5. I think this will be I will say Illinois has got a good defense. Indiana's defense pretty solid. I think this is a low scoring game. I think both teams realize if they win this game, they have a very, very good shot of making the playoff, because they're bound to stub their toe and they got to play some you know, blue blood type teams. But if they can get this one, it puts them in a spot where they can maybe get in with a loss, possibly two, out of the Big Ten. So we'll take Indiana. We'll take the under there at 7:30 on NBC in a Big Ten showdown. Georgia State at Vanderbilt. Vandy lays the 27. 53 is the total. Like I said earlier, Georgia State beat them last year. Big revenge angle, but Vandy in a little bit of a letdown spot, so do with that what you want. Baylor hosting Arizona State. Baylor minus two, total 59.5. I like points in this one. Arizona State, definitely not as good as they were last year, for sure. Hard to replace the players that they did, that they had to, and come away with a team that's equal to or better. They're definitely not. Baylor, still a little bit unbuttoned. I don't know. It's something startles me about this team. I do like them here, though. I think they win this game probably by a touchdown and like the over 59.5. Washington at Washington State in the Apple Cup. Is it the Apple Cup? I think it is. Washington lays 19.5, 52.5. This used to be around Thanksgiving weekend. Good game. Don't know what to make of it now. Probably the Huskies just probably assert their will here and just dominate Washington State. Maybe a good chance to play this game under two. I think Washington State will struggle to score points. Florida at Miami. Miami of Florida, minus 7.5, total 50.5. Yeah, that's a weird number. I thought it was very low. People have asked me all week what's wrong with that line. And when I say to them is, don't bet it, because it looks very, very easy to bet Miami here. I'm really, really surprised that it's this low. I am very surprised. I thought this would be touch under two touchdowns at the minimum. Miami, far superior team. Now, their defense is still not very good. 7.5, 50.5 is the total. Maybe an over here, but I will say Miami's team total, they haven't posted it yet. I would take a look at that. Five turnovers for Florida last week. That DJ Langway guy is not a Heisman contender. He never was. I can't believe people tried to sell that stuff. But anyway, we're going nothing on there except Miami team total over. Texas San Antonio at the Colorado State Rams. Colorado State plus 4.5 at home, total 59.5. I like UTSA. They got a pretty good roster. I think they go in and crush Colorado State. And then the final game, actually one other game to touch on, Michigan State at USC. USC 18.5, 56 is the total. Spartans on an 0-7 ATS run. That's not good. USC's got to go to Illinois next week, so maybe a tad bit of a look-ahead spot here. Maybe Michigan State's pesky, but I don't love it. Fresno at Hawaii. I do like Hawaii catching 2.5 at home. Fresno didn't look very good so far this year. I'll be on the Rainbow Warriors to improve. All right, couple minutes left here on Bettors Last Stand. Show number 144 coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for high school football action here on the Watchdog Network tonight. And it's Cleveland Browns football here on Sunday. So we got Wheeling Park tonight against University, Wheeling Central, Steubenville Central tomorrow. We got West Virginia and Kansas tomorrow at 6. And then on Sunday, the grand finale, the Browns hosting the Packers. All right, let's get into it. Tennessee Titans hosting the Colts, the unbeaten Colts. Colts 3.5 on the road, total 43.5. There's no chance in the world that Indianapolis is going to continue this. Brian Callahan, though, 0-9 in home games, but Tennessee is 12-2 versus division opposition off of a straight-up loss. So, yeah, I think that you'll see Tennessee be very difficult in this game. I'll go with the Titans at home plus the 3.5. Rams at Eagles, big-time game here. Maybe an NFC championship preview. Eagles lay 3.5, total 44.5. I like the Rams in this game quite a bit. I don't think the Eagles have been on, you know, clicking on all cylinders, but just when you start making a case for the Rams, you got to look and see Sirianni 12-0 versus opponents off of a back-to-back straight-up win, and that is the Rams. Philadelphia, it's 2-0 for the third time in 5 years. So Sirianni, like him or not, he's done a good job. But I am taking the Rams plus the 3.5, sprinkle a little on the money line, and we'll go under the 44.5, as I don't think the Eagles defense or the Eagles offense is clicking on all cylinders, and I think the Rams defense is very good. So both teams with good defenses. Las Vegas Raiders, terrible performance the other night. They're at the Washington Commanders, Redskins, if you will. Jaden Daniels probably not going to play in this game. I'd probably take Vegas here. Geno Smith usually has a tendency to bounce back after playing terrible. He was terrible the other day. I'll take the field goal and a half at on the road with the Raiders in a spot where you got to figure Washington is going to be trying to win this game. The Raiders, 6-0 run off of Monday Night Football, so keep that in mind. The Jets at the Buccaneers. Bucs minus 6.5, total 44.5. The Bucs with that miracle drive by Baker Mayfield as he gets out of a sack and makes an incredible play. The Bucs coming off Monday Night Football, though, just 6-19, so keep that one away. I really like the Jets here. Massive upgrade when Tyrod Taylor plays instead of Justin Fields, because he can actually manage the offense and make some passes, knows what to do. Give me Tyrod. Give me the 6.5. I think the Jets are going to be pesky in that game. Houston at Jacksonville. Two teams, just a mess right now. Jacksonville is 1.5. The total 44. And the last seven division road games for the Houston Texans have averaged over 48.3 points per game in them. So we're going over that 44 and a half. That is for sure. I just think there'll be points galore in this game. I think there'll be a lot of sacks. There could be some turnovers. So points, points, points. A lot of times in division games, I like the unders, but these are starting to trend more to the overs, and there's a stat that I'm going to give you here in a couple of minutes that will back that up. Pittsburgh at New England. Pittsburgh minus 1.5, total 44 and a half. 27 points or more allowed in seven of their last eight games on the road. That is inexcusable for a defense that pays the likes of TJ Watt and some of these other guys massive amounts of money. Look up the payroll of the Steeler defense, and you'll be sick if you're a Steeler fan. So we're going with New England here. We're going to take New England, and we're going to take over the 44.5. I think that Pittsburgh defense has been weak. New England's not much better. Green Bay at Cleveland. Play of the week right here, the Browns, plus 6.5 or 7. I've seen 7.5s out there. I like the game under. I like the Browns, and I think the Browns have a very good chance to win this game. Green Bay, yes, they're good on defense. Offense still hasn't proven enough, and they haven't been on the road yet this year. Don't love them. Cleveland all the way in that one. Cincinnati and Minnesota. This would have been an absolute play on Minnesota, but got J.J. McCarthy out, and you got Burrow out. So Browning, to me, is an upgrade. I know people will say I'm an idiot, but go back and look. Counting last week's game, Browning comes in relief and wins the game. Go break it down who has the higher winning percentage. Jake Browning has a better winning percentage as a quarterback in the NFL than Joe Burrow does. Go back and look at it. I think it's 57 to 55% or 58%, 55, whatever it is. Browning has far less action for sure, but his percentage is better. So I don't understand the narrative that Burrow is so much better than Browning. Browning, mistake prone, but so is Burrow. Remember that game he threw five picks against the Jets. Probably a pass, maybe an over in that game. Too much uncertainty. Atlanta at Carolina. Atlanta minus 5.5, total 43.5 in this one. Both games between these two teams, the last two have been shootouts, 58 points at least the last four games. That's insane. We're going over 43.5. New Orleans at Seattle. Seattle minus 7.5, total 41.5. I like the Saints here catching the touchdown. Seattle, so-so. Saints, pesky. I like them. Denver at the Chargers. Tough one here. Chargers off a nice win. Denver off a bad loss. 46 is the total. Chargers lay 2.5. No play. Dallas at Chicago. Pick. I saw some Bears minus 1. 50 is the total. I like the over. Neither one of these defenses can stop anybody. I think you'll see a lot of passing, a lot of yardage, and I like the Bears here to win at home. Dallas's defense may be historically terrible. Arizona at San Francisco. Mac Jones will be there, but he played well last week. Six of the last seven between these two have went over the total. Give me this game over 43.5. Kansas City at the New York Giants on Sunday night. KC minus 6. Mahomes can't lose 4 in a row. I think he'll win the game, but I don't know if they can cover 6. I can't lay 6 with the Chiefs right now. Probably under 45, and I'm going to have to play the Giants. Detroit at Baltimore on Monday night. Baltimore minus 5, the total 51.5. Give me Baltimore and the over in that one. Still don't know how good Detroit is. Offense getting it going a little bit. Defense still very vulnerable. All right, last 12 seasons, week 3 matchups. When a home team in a division matchup is favored, it is in a 21-6 overrun. The games that fit that criteria: Bills and Dolphins from the other night, Jacksonville, Houston, Chargers, Denver, San Francisco, and Arizona. So put that one away in the back of your mind. All right, BLS_PRP. You can find all the picks as always. We will be back here next week. Enjoy the football action tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Again, Wheeling Park coming up after us, after the pregame show. WVU tomorrow in Wheeling Central on WatchdogNetwork.com, and then the Browns and the Packers here on Sunday. Thanks for listening to Better's Last Stand, show number 144. Follow us at the Pine Room Studios, BLS_PRP. You can listen anywhere you get your podcast, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, for the full version of the show or anything that you missed. And we will see you next week for show number 145. Best of luck in your wagers, and thanks for listening to Better's Last Stand on the Watchdog Network.